I want to ask you to pray with me once more as we open our heart to God's word. Father, we come before you, Lord, humbly, Lord, and ask that you speak to us. Lord, we don't take your word lightly, but as it is, the word of the living God, a living word, a powerful word. And I believe, Father, that it has the power to change our lives this morning. I pray, Father, that you speak into each and every heart. And Lord, we just believe we receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This week, when David Russell asked me about sharing their testimony, I just felt like it was a God thing and something that others who've had to face grief and loss needed to hear. It's such a great battle. But all of us face battles of different kinds. We're in a war. There's a war that's taking place for the eternal souls of men and women and young people and children. And in this war, there are many, many great battles. And the truth is that some are won and some are lost. But I want you to know this morning that the Lord can turn your battle. Whatever you're facing today, you may be facing several things. You may have several battle fronts all at once. You know, it seems like sometimes that's the way not just life happens, but the way our adversary works against us, that he attacks us on several fronts at once. But whatever your battle, however many your battles, listen, no matter how small your battle, how big your battle, the Lord can turn your battle for victory. We're going to go to 2 Chronicles in chapter 20 today. Jehoshaphat was king of Judah, and one day he hears that two great armies are coming against his people. Some others also had joined in against them. And Jehoshaphat gets the people together to pray and to seek the Lord. Amen. That's always a good place to start. You got to pray and seek the Lord. You got to know where your source of help is. Sometimes we just look to all the natural things. There were times when the kings looked to other nations to help them. But Jehoshaphat didn't do that here. He got the people to pray and to seek the Lord. And we're going to pick it up in verse 5 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Here's part of his prayer. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to stand you, to withstand you? No one is able to withstand you. Jehoshaphat understood this, that God had all the power, that there was no shortage of power on God's part, that he could do anything. I want you to know this morning, to see our battle turned, we have to realize the greatness of our God. There is no enemy that can stand against him. No sickness, no disease, not even cancer can stand against the Lord. It's not hard for the Lord. There's no addiction. It doesn't matter what it is. See, it could be drugs. It's not too hard for the Lord. It can't stand against him. It could be alcohol. It can't stand against the Lord. So many people today addicted to pornography, it can't stand against the Lord. I'm telling you, whatever your battle is, it can't stand against him. We have to know the greatness of our God. If you have a battle in your finances, listen, it's not hard. It can't stand against the one who paves his streets with gold. Oh, the greatness of our God. Whatever your battle, whatever your struggle, can't stand against the Lord. There's no mountain that he can't move. See? There's no sin. No guilt that he can't take care of by his precious blood. I'm just telling you, realize the greatness of your God. To see your battle turn, you got to know there's nothing that can stand before him. He ends his prayer with this in verse 12. He says, "We have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. Our eyes are on you." To see our battle turned, we have to get our eyes on the Lord. We got to get our eyes off of our circumstances and our situation. We have to get our eyes off of ourselves. We don't know what to do. Have you ever been there? Oh, I know you have. We all face those battles in life where sometimes we try to do it on our own. We try this and we try that. But we've all also been in those times where we did everything we knew to do and we got to that place, we don't know what to do. There are some battles that are too much for us on our own. Oh, how we need the Lord's help. But Jehoshaphat acknowledged that this battle was too much for them. And there was a shift here, where his eyes were no longer on the power of the enemy. His eyes were no longer on the inability, the weakness that his people had, but his eyes were focused on the Lord. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Instead of focusing on the need, on the sickness, the sin, the addiction, we focus on Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. We focus on Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. We focus on Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. You see, whatever it is, I'm telling you, he is exactly what you need in that battle. He is more than enough in that battle. And so you begin to focus on who and what he is. I'm telling you, your battle starts looking a lot smaller when you focus on God. We magnify the Lord. Our eyes are on you when you're in that battle. And I just, you know, I know when you're in a great battle, oh, how you need to focus on the Lord. I want to encourage you, even in the little battles. You know, sometimes the enemy can just mess you around with a bunch of little stuff and get you in a bad place. Even in your little battles, get your eyes on God. Don't allow the enemy to distract you, but keep your eyes on the one who can do it. Get your eyes on him. Listen, I want to remind you, Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? You know what that question, that rhetorical question, what it's saying is, listen, if God is for you, it doesn't matter who's against you. It doesn't matter what the battle is. If God is for you, you're going to be all right. But we got to get our eyes on the Lord. Don't get your eyes on the circumstances. Remember the story of Peter? He was out of the boat walking on water to Jesus. But the Bible says that when he saw the wind and the waves, you see, when he saw the storm all around him, he began to sink. And Jesus saved him, and he says to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt?" I want to tell you, part of why he doubted was because he wasn't fixed on Jesus. He was looking at the storm around him. We got to get our eyes off of that battle somehow and begin to focus on the Lord. Get our eyes on him. Keep our eyes on the Lord. Jehoshaphat and the people prayed. The Lord spoke through one of the Levites, and we're going to read that in verses 15 through 20. And he said, "Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." The battle is not yours, but God's. Child of God, the battle is not yours, but God's. To see our battle turned, we have to turn it over to the Lord. As long as you think it's your battle and you've got to fight this battle, it's not going to turn. You've got to turn it over to the Lord. Realize that God is the one who will fight for you. You're like Jehoshaphat. Many times a battle is just too much for us and we don't know what to do. You just turn it over to the Lord. Give it to him. Give him the burden of it. Give him the care of it. Give him the outcome. And give him the glory. You see, when we get to that place where we're truly humble before the Lord and we say, "Lord, we don't know what to do." And you turn it all over to him. Then he gets all the glory and we get none of it. Amen? We don't touch any of the glory because it all belongs to God. Give it to him. Give him the battle. Verse 16, he said, "Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and he shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." They got a word from the Lord, and the people began to worship. They began to praise the Lord because God had given them a word. But there's something else real important that happened here, is they believed. That's why they were worshiping. That's why they were praising the Lord, is because they believed that something had changed in their situation. I want you to understand, to see our battle turned, we have to believe. In the midst of it, no matter how it looks, we stand on the promises of God. We believe God's word. I want to make this real clear. What do you believe? You believe God's word. You don't just believe whatever you dream up. You believe God's word. If he said it, then you can stand on the promise of his word. But believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, when you have a word from God, you know that the battle truly does belong to the Lord, because he always keeps his word. See, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He forgives all my iniquities and he heals all my diseases. I will not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. I will restore you and heal you of your wounds. He binds up the brokenhearted. He sets the captives free. I'm telling you, this book is full of so many promises for the believer. And in him, in Christ, the answer is yes. What do you stand on? You stand on the Word of God. That's what you believe. In your battle, believe God's Word, no matter what it looks like. I want you to think about this for just a second. Now, they got this Word from the Lord, but in the natural, nothing has changed. But they start praising God, and they believe what God has said. Jesus said, when you believe, you receive, you shall have it. And I think these people believed they received. They believed that it was going to happen just as the word of the Lord said. Verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Wonder what that must have been like for those that were chosen to go out in front of the army, to lead the army into battle singing. Little unusual for the singers to lead into a battle like that. There's no evidence that anybody resisted, that anybody was afraid. No, these people believed God and they were going to do exactly what Jehoshaphat and the people agreed. They went out singing. His mercy endures forever. By the way, I want to let you know that those who lead in worship are still on the front lines. In our time, you need to realize that they are constantly under attack. We need to pray for them. It is not just a natural thing when these people lead us into the presence of God, and the enemy of your soul, Satan, hates it. And so we always pray for those that lead in worship because they are leading in the battle. Verse 22, now when they began to sing and to praise. That's when it happened. Your battle is turned when you begin to sing and to praise. Something happened for them when they began to sing and to praise. I believe that God's word is written down for us to learn from it. It's not just a story so we can look back and say, wow, wasn't that neat? No, it is for us so that we understand that when we sing and we praise the Lord, there is something happening in the spirit world. It's so powerful in this story. When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. Nobody escaped. I want to tell you, God is able to turn your battle for victory. When they sang and they praised, the Lord, sent ambushes against their enemies. Whatever your enemy, addiction, sickness, personal weakness, I'm telling you that God can give you the victory. Our battles turn when we praise the Lord. That praise is an expression of our faith. God responds to faith. He wants us to believe. So many people pray and they're trying to believe. They say they're believing when a lot of the times they're just kind of wishing, well, I'm believing God, but I don't know what's going to happen. That's not faith. Because when we have faith, it is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is something real and tangible, and you know that you have it, even though you can't see it. That's faith. And when we really believe, we're not saying, oh, well, I don't know how this is going to turn out. No, we know how it's going to turn out because we believe. But when we truly praise the Lord, it is an expression of our faith in God that He is our deliverer, that He is our healer, that He is our redeemer, that He is our righteousness. You see, when we praise Him, it is an expression of that faith in Him. Here's the amazing thing, though. You know, sometimes we all struggle with our faith. But if we'll just praise Him, if we'll step out in faith and do our best to praise God and to believe Him, let me tell you something. Praise will build and strengthen your faith. Because when you get your mind on God and you start speaking those words of faith out of your mouth, it's amazing how faith rises in your heart. What happens with so many people, though, is they do just the opposite. When they're in the middle of a battle, they start to complain. They start to talk about how terrible this is. What am I going to do? I don't know what's going to happen. They get on the phone. Maybe they post it on Facebook. And they tell other people it's so bad. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. We need to share our burdens with one another and get other people to pray. But what I'm saying to you is there's a difference in the attitude of the heart when we're just complaining, when we're just going on and on about the negative circumstances instead of focusing on the Lord. Let me tell you, it will undermine your faith. It will tear your faith down. And in the process, it'll tear down the faith of other people around you. But when you begin to praise the Lord, the battle turns. Your faith climbs. It gets stronger. Be careful that you speak words of praise, not words of doubt and unbelief and complaining, but praise the Lord. When you're facing a great battle, when your job is on the line, when you lost your job, well, that's the time to praise the Lord. When your marriage is on the rocks, you praise the Lord. When you get a bad doctor's report, that's the time you need to praise the Lord. When you're stressed out and anxious, you say, I praise you, Lord, that you are my peace. When you're feeling a little down and a little depressed, instead of saying something negative, just begin to praise Him and say, Lord, You're the one that gives me fullness of joy. I praise You, Lord, that I have joy in You, the joy of the Lord. You just begin to praise Him. See, when you don't know what to do, you praise Him as the one who fights for you. But you praise Him. Whatever that battle is, you praise Him. You lift Him up. You magnify the greatness of our God. They sent singers to praise the Lord. I'm just telling you, no matter how big, how small your battle is, praise the Lord. Now, some of you are thinking right now, well, I'm not a singer. Well, you can sing. But more than that, everybody can praise. Everybody can glorify God. Everybody can lift the Lord up. He turns our battle, and He turns our battle into a blessing. Isn't it enough if He just wins our battle for us? I mean, if the battle's over and we're still standing, that's an awesome thing. But I'm telling you that the Lord does more than that. He can take that thing, that battle, that great struggle in your life, and turn it into a blessing. He can turn it all around. What the enemy meant for harm, God is able to turn that situation into a blessing somehow. We're going to read on in the story, beginning with verse 25. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka, for they blessed there, they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Baraka until this day. Baraka means blessing. That battlefield, you see, was turned into a valley of blessing. You realize it could have been the valley of death for these people? If God had not intervened for them, it would have been the valley of death. But He not only delivered them, but He turned that battlefield into a valley of blessing. So much riches, they couldn't even carry it all. 3 days, they gathered it. Verse 27 says, then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat in front of them to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for God gave him rest all around. First of all, I want you to notice that after the battle was won and they carried off all of the spoils, they didn't just go back to their house and say, wow, look at what I got. No, they gathered at the house of the Lord. I want to tell you, there's something special about gathering at the house of the Lord to praise, to celebrate the goodness of our God. Like Jonathan said this morning, there are things that we should never forget. Where He brought me from, what God has done in my life. I'm telling you, we need to praise Him for all the goodness of God and not ever forget. I have an obligation to go to the house of the Lord and to worship Him, to celebrate Him, to bring glory and honor to Him, that this world knows that our God is a great God, that He is good, that He is merciful and kind, that He loves His people, and He's been so good to me. So good to me. I'm telling you, He is worthy of our praise, church. There's one last thing that happened here. Everybody else, those other countries, the fear of God came on them because of the deliverance that the Lord brought. The fear of God came on them. And Jehoshaphat and the people had rest. I want to tell you something. If the enemy can get you down, if he can get you complaining and bitter and going against the Lord, he's got you right where he wants you. But when he attacks you, when things happen and you just start praising the Lord, I want to tell you that is not the response he wants, because he knows that if you'll praise God, then the battle will turn and he'll be defeated and God will be glorified. Let me tell you something, that's a pattern he doesn't like. Oh, when we learn to praise the Lord in the middle of our battle, we're going to have a time of rest. I believe that. I'm not telling you won't ever have any more battles, but I'm telling you that there is a place of rest for the people of God who learn to praise in the battles. We're going to close this service with just a time of praise. And I want us to pray over this time. I want our prayer partners to come. And if you need prayer during this time, you're welcome to come for prayer. But we're just going to praise the Lord and celebrate him for a few minutes. I want you, listen, you may be picturing your battle right now, your struggle right now, but I want you to get your eyes on the Lord. Whatever that battle is, realize that it can't stand against God. Stand with us. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that those who are bound be set free even as they lift a hallelujah. That those that are sick be healed even as they begin to praise you as their healer. That those who have been under a cloud of guilt and condemnation will be free from that in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, for financial blessings, Lord, as we lift you up as our provider, Jehovah Jireh. Lord, we just honor you in this place and bring glory, glory to you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.